Hey everyone, welcome to our October horror month. This month, the entirety of the month is going to be devoted to vampires. So of course we will have on our regular vampire expert, Charlie Rose, on to help us with that further. We have Nor back for most of these episodes, desperately trying to learn about vampires from Charlie, and Charlie urging us to get him some better material. So, you know, enjoy that. Thanks to everyone who's joined our Patreon. For those of you who have, of course, you know all the good stuff that's there. For those of you who have not yet, we have movie riffs and extra episodes and all sorts of stuff. It's really an incredible amount of stuff we have for you. So with that in mind, of course, thanks for joining us. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Letterboxd, everywhere where you follow social networks. And thanks.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. We're continuing our October Vampire Month this week with a classic of garbage. The third in any movie, which is always the best one to start with. We are starting with Blade Trinity. Let's be correct. Technically correct.
Best kind of correct.
That's right. The one in which, I guess, Ryan Reynolds endears himself to Marvel for some reason. I'm host Nick Hoffman, Riff on Center Problem Panel. We have...
Hello, this is Daniel, and I was just kind of hoping Buffy would stake Blade throughout the entire movie.
Nor Chernet. You can follow me on Instagram at NorChernet407. Also on podcast Norcast. Coming soon.
And I'm Charlie Rose. I guess I'm the resident vampire expert.
He's back again because we're bringing up vampires. He'll be in 3 episodes this month. So, hey, anytime Mr. Rose is back in my house, I'm a happy man. So, we decided to finally do a Blade movie because we loved the first two so much. So we picked the third one, which no one loves so much.
Mm. I saw this in theaters back in the day.
No shit.
I did.
I am sorry to hear that.
I also saw it in the theater.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I was talking to Nor here before we got started and said this movie would never exist if it was made today. Because Marvel is so protective of its properties. Like, the idea that this isn't tying to anything, right?
No, absolutely.
And so, like, it reminds me of those, like, latter Superman movies where you're just like, the Soul Kinds did what? Like, the Canon Pictures did what with Superman? Like, DC would never let that happen. Like, this movie especially, the third one with Ryan Reynolds making jokes to no one, that would never happen.
I was kind of hoping that Blade would show up in that Netflix Daredevil show. I thought that would have been a nice bit, but never happened.
No, they've got plans for him in Phase 5 of the Marvel.
Mahershala Ali, right?
Yeah.
Mahershala Ali.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Eventually he'll get his name right, because he brings him up constantly.
Yeah, man.
I love that dude. Uncle Aaron in Into the Spider-Verse. That was a great performance.
Another Marvel property that somehow Marvel let slip away.
There are reasons for that, but we won't get into it on this podcast.
No, it's because Daniel doesn't want to talk about this movie, but we're here to talk about Blade Trinity, because they thought that this one would be so good, it was divine. They were wrong. So, Charlie, you want to give us the plot? Resident vampire expert?
So before I do that, I want to take 5 quick minutes. I want to give a couple of 4-color details to the Blade character.
All right,
the history of the Blade character. He was actually introduced in 1973. Marv Wolfman and Gene Colan in the comic book Tomb of Dracula. Okay. In the 70s and the late 60s, vampires were hot. Dracula was hot. They decided, as a bunch of white men in the 70s do, that they need to introduce a black man. And
they had letters. They got letters, yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. And they gave him words and language that a bunch of white guys in the 70s thought that black men would say.
Oh, no, was he talking, to quote Airplane, jive?
Yeah, it's bad. Well, I mean, if you go and you read any of the Luke Cage stuff.
Sweet Christmas.
The only good thing to come out of that era was that catchphrase, Sweet Christmas. But the rest of it,
Was this like that comic where Lois Lane became a black woman to go undercover for a story?
Oh, that's just DC being problematic.
Wait, they did that?
Yes, they did.
Lois blackfaced?
Dude, well, it wasn't
makeup.
Black like me.
Oh, yeah.
But like, no, it's no good. It is no good. Yeah. And you know what they did too? They didn't just make her black. They just turned down the color palette on her. Mm-hmm. So she was just a white girl that with bad bronzer on. It was it was rough going.
Damn, this is 70. Wait, so going back to Blade, what was Blade's catchphrase?
You know, he really didn't have one.
Funkadelic.
Nothing exciting like Sweet Christmas, you know. In fact, actually, during the 70s, he probably appeared in only about 30 comic books.
Yeah.
His run was very limited, and Marvel shelved him for years until the 90s when they sold this property originally, and the original movie came out in 1998.
Right.
And so they decided to bring him back and, you know, modernize him. Well, basically, 1990s Marvel is like edgelord madness.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Marvel in the 90s, they went bankrupt at one point. They started selling off a bunch of their characters. That's why X-Men ended up at Fox, Spider-Man was at Sony, and then Blade was at New Line because they just needed the money because there was no strings attached to the character. That's how the movies got made.
But there was a lot of pressure for the first Blade movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
and they did, and they were smart. They brought the character back. They aligned the character in the 90s with the character in the movie. Originally, Blade didn't actually have any superpowers. He just lived a long time. He was immune to the vampire bite, and he could sense supernaturals. That was it. But in the 90s, they decided to give him superpowers, super strength, you know, speed, reflexes.
Well, and I'm going to get inside baseball and something I know about, which is nothing. But I would imagine it also has to do with in 1997. No, it might be also 98. They killed off Superman.
No, and that was earlier.
It was 94, 95?
It was like 93 or 94.
93.
Live action or comics?
The reason I bring it up in the comics, Doomsday comes up, but one of the people to come out of it is John Henry Irons playing Steel, who becomes... DC's like, did you smoking a cigar? Did you know there were black people in America? but that's what it is. And
still asking that question.
So you have a black superhero, which eventually will be played by Shaq in a total Stay Tuned episode.
Was a good movie.
Steel?
Yes.
And by good, do you mean what exactly?
By, you know, you.
Oh, in that you should watch it with us? Yes. Yeah,
okay. It's a fun kids movie.
It's a fun kids movie.
Well, Spawn was
Shaft
also,
is in it.
Spawn was also a black superhero, technically.
Well, and in the late 90s.
In the late 90s. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
late 90s was just this, I don't know. Well, the 90s was all about being edgy, and apparently putting black people on the screen in primary roles was edgy in the 90s.
Please, let's correct your language here. Being urban. Because that
that's right. That's right.
We were about to approach the millennium, and we needed to make sure that black people appeared in film. I mean, we did Wild Wild West. It's the same thing. It's two white guys. What if we made one of them black and the movie's super racist? Because what's his name just shouts slurs.
Will Smith.
No,
Kevin Klein.
Kenneth Branagh. Kenneth Branagh.
Dude, because. You know how the rivalry is between black people and the handicapped? Will Smith makes all these like jokes about
I missed the memo.
Will Smith makes all these jokes about how Branagh is in a wheelchair, and Branagh makes all these jokes about how he's black.
Yeah.
And
it's just sort of like, ooh.
And you're like, this movie came out in 1998, and he's like, I haven't seen you in a coon's age. And you're just like, what the fresh? You I told the Fresh Prince what exactly?
Well,
and this is 2 years after Independence Day and a year before Men in Black, and you're just like...
Well, it was 2 years after Men in Black, but why don't we get into what's going on in this movie?
So, no. This is definitely, that's your background. Blade is...
R.I.P. Chadwick Boseman again.
Rest
in power.
Oh, but what I will say is it's similar in that you have a black male lead fighting against white people, right? Like, Jack Kirby at one point was like, hey, can we have more white people in Black Panther? So the next episode, he fought the Ku Klux Klan.
Yep.
And so here, what is it? Most vampires are white guys. And so Blade is out there with a sword killing white dudes during the civil rights era, or I guess late 70s, or early 70s. But still, like, what are you talking about? Racial injustice and a dude with a sword? I mean... Come on, man. Like, Detroit would be much more interesting right now if you gave some guys some swords. That's all I'm going to throw out there.
So the plot is really, actually, at its core, the most simple thing ever. The vampires in power are very upset that Blade keeps killing them. So they go and wake up their vampire god who spawned them all, which is supposed to also be Dracula, which was...
That doesn't make any sense.
That fell short.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
As we say together.
He wakes up. He doesn't like the fact that the vampires are terrible and weak. He doesn't like humans, so he wants to kill everyone. And now Blade has to fight against everyone.
I sympathize with Dracula there because I also think these vampires are terrible.
Oh, they're absolutely terrible. Not even Parker Posey can save them.
No, I mean, and she does her damnedest.
Why is she in this movie?
Not even Triple H can
save. Paycheck.
You're not wrong.
I mean, I was really hoping for some really delicious banter when her and Ryan Reynolds were fighting to the death.
Yes.
But no.
And her delivery is so terrible throughout this movie.
Absolutely.
She get that check, though. That's honestly, this whole movie was just a cash
grab.
Well,
this whole movie was about the check.
It was about the money.
She used to be an independent film queen. Like, besides Christopher Guest mockumentaries, she was in a whole bunch of indie movies in the 90s. And then in the 2000s, she tried to branch out. Like, that's why she was in Superman Returns. But here, it's just so bad. And I love Parker Posey.
Well, there's a lot of recognizable people, you know?
Well, I mean, and we need to talk about a few things here, but you mentioned Parker, so we're going to point one thing out that bothered the hell out of me. Mr. Rose, as the vampire expert, you have yourself some fangs. She never bothered to learn how to talk in these things. She is choking on her prosthetic. Like,
I feel like she was just like, trying to make sure it's not going to fall off.
I mean, if you told me she didn't say her lines, they just gave her peanut butter like Mr. Ed so she would move her mouth, I'd believe, because she's like, you, Ryan Reynolds, you're a jerk. And I'm just like, also, apparently, you mentioned one plot point, which is that Ryan Reynolds gave up carbs and did a lot of sit-ups. Because, my God.
That was when everyone across the world realized, oh my God, Ryan Reynolds is a hottie.
Was it this movie?
Yeah, before this movie, he was not a hottie.
Huh.
During this movie, he became a hottie.
Okay. So when he showed his ass in
Van Wilder.
Yeah, I was about to say, he showed his ass in Van Wilder.
No. Van Wilder is cute. This dude is a snag.
Let's just agree that Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds in every film. He's Van Wilder in every same way Kevin Hart is Kevin Hart in every single one of his
films.
That's
right. I mean, but this is the first time he had abs. Which doesn't matter because his character's terrible. At one point or another, he's telling jokes to vapor. Like, no one cares. Yeah. Even his friends, like Patton Oswalt, who is also a comedian, looks at him with vacant expressions because Ryan Reynolds is in his own movie called Vampire Bud, and no one gives a shit.
Because nobody cared what was happening in this movie. Wesley Snipes was stoned off his gourd throughout the making of this movie and wouldn't talk to anybody, so nobody cared what he did. So he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to have as much fun as possible. Power to him, I say.
Yeah, true.
You get that check, Wesley.
Except the problem is he comes across as a low-rent Ryan Reynolds.
He kind of was in
2004. Well, 2004. This is
2004.
This is 2004.
Then we need to stop with the nonsense Kevin Smith talky talk swearing for no reason. I don't care about profanity in a movie, but he goes, well, fuck. And you're just like, come to the front of class. That didn't add anything.
For a while, Ryan Reynolds was a Bill Murray figure wherein he would be in terrible, terrible movies, but he would be the best part of them. Waiting, like Van Wilder, which is a terrible movie.
Yeah.
He would make sure he was the most memorable part, and it's the same here.
What about a donut filled with dog semen makes it a terrible movie?
Well, that's what kills Dracula at the end of this movie.
Van Wilder's weird. I have not
seen
it in a long
part.
Time.
Speaking of
you just haven't played Castlevania 3. Now, let me explain what the Spirit of the Night is. It involves a dog humping a donut.
Excuse me, it's Symphony of the Night.
I was trying to name a not real game.
Okay.
Okay, so, I mean, cold open. I don't even remember what this movie is. So I need to tell you guys a quick story for those of you listening to the podcast. Generally, we record these in twosies. We watch one together. And then, first we watch one on our own.
Oh, God, you're telling us the story.
Then we watch one together, and then we record. And so when we recorded Ace Ventura, which will come out later, stay tuned, we watched that on our own. Then we had some wings. We listened to some music. We had a few beers. We tried to watch this movie. I was out in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Daniel was in and out the entire time. Podcaster Jeremy maybe made it through the end. He pretended he did. He's a strong, silent type. Nor watched the credits, blinking out the whole time. Slept till 1 o'clock the next day or whatever you told me.
I did. The awkward part was I was the only one awake when the movie, you know, ended. And I was just like in an empty room while like three grown men were asleep.
It's like this wasn't my house. School sleepover.
It wasn't my house. And I'm just like... And
I'm
I just
sure I said
to
something
do.
To you before you left.
Yeah,
you did.
You told us like goodbye and everything like that, but I was just like, I watched this whole movie.
It's something.
I think that's the best review right there because the first...
I watched this whole movie.
No.
Printing on the label. We have fans. Nor I watched this,
I
whole,
watched this
movie.
Whole movie.
I think that's the best review of this movie. I mean, how can you make a Blade movie? Because the first two are actually really entertaining.
Yeah.
I personally prefer the second one because it's Guillermo del Toro. But
names in you, Daniel.
How can you make a Blade movie boring? Because that's what this is.
Well, in the worst part is it's sort of inspired by one of the most popular Dracula storylines in which they try to extinguish all the vampires by using this special formula that would cause them all to, like, die.
Mm. Yeah.
It goes as well as you might think, well, you know.
To answer your question, the reason why this movie is so terrible is that, you know, I guess a lot of studio interference and they wanted to make this into a franchise. They wanted money because Ryan Reynolds and Seventh Heaven's Jessica Biel were supposed to get like a spinoff because of these movies. But since it did so terrible.
That was actually part of the original plan. They were
Well, and it makes sense because at this point, you're right. She was Seventh Heaven's, Alias? Is she in?
No, that was Jennifer.
Oh,
no,
Garner.
She really didn't have much else going on at this
neither
point.
Neither did Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, true.
So, I mean,
you know what,
they're your TV stars, and then once every four episodes, you know, Wesley Snipes stumbles in and like, but that's how it gets, or maybe it comes for sweeps week.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, I was impressed with Jessica Biel in this movie, which, skipping ahead a little bit, there's a bit where Blade gets arrested, but then this group called the Night Stalkers, which is what Ryan Reynolds heads up, free him.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, this is also a Christopher Guest reunion because the psychologist is the guy from Best in Show who is Michael McKean's boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember the actor's name.
That's a small role. Like, a good reference, good note. I would never have guessed.
She was jacked as fuck for this movie. You could tell she, like,
really
dedicated herself to being this character.
Yeah, she's the only one that, like, when you watch this, she's clearly taking this seriously.
Yes.
Well, and that's why Ryan Reynolds' character stands out like a sore thumb. Everyone else is so dramatic, and he's like, wah-ha-ha.
Also,
he needed his own laugh cam, by the way.
Yeah.
He really
did. Another question.
What am I talking to?
So Dracula's been locked up in the cradle of civilization as Parker Posey said, and they free him. So how did the myth of Dracula get out? Like, how did Bram Stoker know about Dracula? How does anyone know about him?
We're told that he's been made himself aware to two other groups, to Dracula.
Yeah.
And the Sumerians called him Draco.
Yep.
And now he goes by Drake. So he has a new album dropping next week.
Oh, boy.
That's it. That's all we get. By the way, I'm pretty sure Drake is the name of a dragon. I could look this up, but I'm not gonna.
I think you're thinking of Draco from Dragonheart.
Well, and from
Malfoy.
But Drake, Draco, Dracula, they all stand for...
They have the same root.
Dragon. Yeah. And it's what's interesting, and you mentioned this, is the whole point of the...
But is it interesting?
Well...
The mythology.
Sorry. The mythology.
The background is.
Sorry,
the
Charlie.
Terrible.
No, the they call themselves the what
Night
was it?
Stalkers.
Night Stalkers.
In the comics, that's Blade. That's Hannibal King, which is Ryan Reynolds' character.
Sure. Right.
And it's also Drake, the last living human descendant of Dracula.
That would be more interesting. And by the by, what would be great is something that almost happens here but doesn't. Blade is in a tight spot, and we set it up like a Bond movie, where we have his Q, we have his M, we have someone who's finding these vampires, but instead, that's kind of like a plot that Blade has nothing to do with, and then everyone dies.
Speaking of everyone dying, if I could rewind a little bit, we get an opening. The opening scene with Blade, is fine.
That was dope.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it before, but this is a sequel, and it was perfectly fine with reestablishing the character. The weird thing, though, is Kris Kristofferson is back in this movie, even though he's already died and been resurrected once, and then he gets killed by a SWAT team.
He went out
in glory. He set off the big explosion.
This is Uncle Duvet from
Hard Target. Uncle Duvet. One of the all-time great characters in fiction, Uncle Duvet.
He was phoning it in too. What was his Whistler?
Whistler.
Yes. He was like, I'm gonna say
he was drunk this whole time.
I better say, yeah.
Dude, he was whistling some, but I get it though, man. Like, and you know what it should have also been, which they didn't do, but would have been great. Like, it's not just wired, but it's also wired with vampire traps. So like these SWAT teams get like riddled with wooden stakes. Like it's halfway like that first Saw movie where there's shotguns pointed everywhere. Like, cause he's a stumbling drunk. It'd be great because he's like, I know I'm gonna go out whether it's my own gun or someone else's, and he just like he's wired for day two. Like it's like, but that's it. Like, and he should die with the trigger in one hand and a cheap bottle of plastic bourbon in the other, because he's going down fucking hard.
They crucified him. It's kind of fucked up, but yeah, all right.
Well, it's Trinity, Nor. It's
now,
subtle.
I've got a question for our resident vampire expert.
Yes.
Jessica Biel's character as Whistler's illegitimate daughter.
I didn't understand
that.
Is that
in the comics?
No, not to my knowledge. I mean, she may have shown up like randomly somewhere, but was never a big character.
Okay.
Hannibal King was a big character.
Sure.
And had the same casual background of was a vampire, then became not a vampire.
How do you not become a vampire after being a vampire?
Doctor Strange fixed him.
Oh, that's how it was in the comic
books. There's other magics. Okay.
In the movie mythos.
What's up with the tattoos and stuff that they got? I never understood.
He used to be a vampire.
Okay.
And in the movie mythos, the first movie, they introduced the retrovirus, which allows you to convert someone back.
Right.
And it is assumed that he took that fix and became human again.
Huh. Can we also mention Natasha Lyonne is in this movie?
Yes.
Is it the girl
from
American Pie and Orange New Black?
Yes.
She's the blind one in this one?
Yes.
Oh,
okay, she's real blind.
She's the blind super scientist.
Well, she's like
one of the two super scientists.
Yeah. The other is Patton Oswalt as Hedges, who's like the Q in this movie.
The Q, yeah.
Which leads to one of the weirdest parts of this, which Roger Ebert, I remember referencing in his original review. They're like giving somebody a blade that's half as hot as the sun, and then it's like you switch that on, you're like destroying a major city at the very least, because that's nuclear.
Absolutely. And it's completely pointless because it looks like a bow and arrow, but the minute someone goes to like try and pull that, your hand is sliced off.
Well, and I mean, we'll talk about this later, because like we can almost talk about all the combat scenes at once because they're all the same.
Yeah, that's true.
But like effectively they have it's a bullet they can screw it to the head of an arrow, but it's just like a sunbeam.
There's two types of we're going to go kill vampire movies, okay? There's the scrappy individuals who get holy water and wooden stakes, and they just go forward with spunk and aplomb, and they get things done.
Yeah.
And then there's this type of crap, which is basically like, here's a special UV headlight in the front of your car.
Except the first one did that okay, because Whistler's like, well, are you going to give us holy water? And he's like, crosses don't do shit. And it was fine. It actually really worked with the low-tech, relatively low-tech stuff they had, like with Blade running that UV light over that
flashlight thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, over that massively obese vampire.
Yeah.
I will say, oh, please.
No, I just got questions considering you're the vampire expert. I was going to save this till later, but I feel we're going to be talking about the movie, so this is my only chance to ask this. As far as the weakness for vampires, if you know the ideology. Yeah. So why is garlic bad?
Italians. Right?
Okay, so in the mythos, garlic is, they would put a bulb in the mouth of the freshly deceased in the hopes that it would ward away evil. Garlic was assumed to have some curative or restorative abilities.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was one of those magic herbs. Mm. It just goes way back. You know, it's one of those things. Sort of like why they bury people upside down, face down, so that they won't be able to rise from the dead.
They used to.
These are old classic
ones. Yeah.
Myths.
So there was literally times.
I have a history story first.
Go ahead.
We had a vampire plague in Maryland.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Okay. So, turn of the 19th century, so like late 1780s through 1800, there were a bunch of people who were dying of, we now know, tuberculosis, which is called consumption, because eventually what happens is you withdraw, your cheeks get sunken, you grow paler and paler, and you die from a cough. It's seen in movies because you cough and then the napkin has blood on it.
Ooh.
Problem was, it goes in families and you don't die right away, right? And it's an infection, and like a lot of things, including vampirism and, you know, werewolfism, whatever, it's a disease, but people just don't know what it is back then because we don't have germ theory. So what was happening was people were dying, and then in the middle of the night, they would wake up and they'd be pale and they'd be rasping and they'd be bloody because they'd been coughing on themselves all night, and they'd be sunken. And the vampire must have got them. And in a few weeks, they would die. So what they would do is they'd dig up the corpses of the first person in the family who died. They would take out their heart, grind it up, and consume it as a tea. Yeah. You know what doesn't...
For what?
Delightful.
Because you think it would stop the vampires. Turns out it spreads the disease. So for about 20 years, it probably killed a few hundred people, if not 1,000 people.
Who said, like... Who was the person? What was it? The plague, the Black Plague, or whatever?
Yeah.
Hey, we should stop drinking this shitty water. Who was the first one? That's like, hey, we should stop eating these infected hearts.
Chris Johnson. I know. I know these people because that's my dissertation. But yeah, no, yeah. This is true. I mean, again, you know what we do now? Get a fucking vaccination.
I was about to say.
If you don't vaccinate your children, apparently they turn into vampires and you have to eat their hearts. So
I was just going to bring up a story that in Eastern Europe back in the day, there'd be people who would die, and they would suspect them of being vampires if the weather was bad, because vampires can control weather.
Right.
And when they dig them up, you know, their corpses would be bloated. There'd be blood coming out of their mouths because that's just what happens with decomposition. And then there's like, yep, vampire, put a stake in their heart, and that would
When did people switch from their witch to their vampire?
Depends on the country.
Metric system.
yeah.
I mean, and as far as garlic goes, the quick answer is leave like 12 different vegetables or fruits out on your countertop. Everything else will get moldy and go rancid except for garlic, which just dries out and dries out and dries out until it's gone. And they thought that that was magic. We just know that garlic has natural antibiotic properties.
Makes sense.
That's
okay.
It. But right. I mean, if that's the case... And for whatever reason, your beer seems to cure something, you drink the beer because it's magic. Or in King Tut's tomb, we found mud that had minocycline in it. And as someone with acne, I know what minocycline is. It's an anti-acne medication, but it grows naturally in mud. So I assume there was a magic man with a magic stick that when he stirred the mud, that mud cured acne. They didn't know it was an antibiotic, but they knew it was an antibiotic. So... That's what it is.
Okay. So I'm going to be Blade in this movie and just give you a random stoic look after you telling me that story.
And then you walk off set. And then apparently you're done for the day. Because that's what I feel like. Blade.
After he hotboxes in his trailer.
Well, yeah. And Wesley Snipes and Ryan Reynolds were together for exactly 3 hours. And then they're never in scene together again.
And they never react. Well, Ryan Reynolds does, but Wesley Snipes never reacts to what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Because he has his earbuds in.
That's New Jack City for you. That's Wesley Snipes. Yeah. That's him. Yeah.
I mean, we got to do more Wesley Snipes movies because he
does.
He's a good
actor. Oh, my God.
Well, and he's a physical actor. In this movie, he surprisingly does little.
Yeah.
I mean, like... I want to see him do some splits, fly through the air, kick some guys through a window, and he does that kind of, but at the end of the movie, he's just dramatically walking down the stairs and throwing things.
Well, yeah, there's one scene in this movie where he's acting, and it's the scene where they're cornering, I forget who, somebody might be able to fill in the blank, but they're cornering somebody, and they're like, I can't tell you where Dracula and Parker Posey is, or else they'll kill me, and he's like, motherfucker, I'll kill you.
That is such a great line. And he's holding the dude off the edge of a bridge or a building.
A building, yeah.
A building. Like, that's something. And you listen, because Wesley Snipes emotes. And all of a sudden, I'm like, shit, he'd kill me too, probably.
He's a supporting character in this movie, though. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, that is the problem. He very clearly comes across as a supporting character.
Which is a shame. I mean, we haven't talked about any scenes, but none of these scenes really matter. I mean, you can tell about where I dozed off because I'm like, hey, something new. 20 minutes. Shit. But we have some dramatic scenes. I think the movie really gets going, quote unquote, after Blade has been captured. So why don't we start with where Blade gets captured?
Outstanding.
Please, go ahead.
So he gets captured by the FBI. And it turns out that basically this FBI location is under the thrall of vampires.
Infiltrated. Okay.
Infiltrated, yes.
Okay.
And so they're little, they're familiars, they're humans that do their biddings, call them and say, we've got Blade, come and get him, and they're going to send him off to a insane asylum, which... because ever since the 80s and Reagan, there really hasn't been that thing happening.
Well, there's this pop psychology thing that the other guy from Christopher Guest movies, and again, tweet me the name. I can't remember it. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
I wish he was cast more, but he does that whole thing where it's like, well, I think there's a sexual element to this whole thing because it's about fluid exchange.
Yeah.
Which is stupid because what he does is read the Cliff's Notes of Dracula and that's all this is.
Yeah, exactly. All the baddies show up. You know, they're gloating. They're doing the Bond villain thing where they're saying, we've got you.
Cup.
Ha, ha, ha. And all of a
sudden, Mr. Blade, I expect you to die.
Exactly. And Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel burst through the window and save the day.
One thing I will give this movie, which looks pretty cool, and I know it's in the other movies, but they really commit to you slay a vampire the right way and they explode into fire.
Yep.
Because that's the only thing. And we're introduced to, we see it at the beginning a little bit. But the way they break in is they throw a guy through the once like the double-sided mirror thing, and he's like evaporating as his skull lands on the table. Like, okay, fine, well done, you get the one. But then they're escaping from an FBI building, and frankly, based on this year, get a David Duchovny cameo. Like, he's the one. He doesn't have to be a familiar, but the one FBI guy who's on board for vampire hunting. Like, come on, man. And that would be cool because then you could grab one of them and say, there's a conspiracy among you. That would be interesting because the thing is, Blade doesn't care about any of this. Wesley Snipes is on a rail shooter here, and he just gets someone who's excited to see the Batcave or whatever we're going to call this thing, this weird boat that they have, which is going to get destroyed.
The Blade Port.
Well, Scully, there's been many, many recorded instances of vampirism in the eastern coast of the United States over the past 50 years.
Scully. I mean, because by that point, she's done.
Well, I mean, and it's clear that they just chose not to add anything else because it's like 90 minutes. And that includes all the credits, too.
It's literally like 93. Like, and you could cut out a bunch in the middle, too.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, I hate that there's a kid in this movie, and I love that there's a kid
in this movie. No point in this kid.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is from, and I introduced this. Daniel's the one who usually hates children in movies.
Yep.
You think just kids are stupid and they just do dumb shit in the movies?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Well, nobody can direct them properly.
We did Aliens and, like, what is it? What's the kid?
Newt. Nobody calls me my real name except my brother. Fucking Newt. I'm sure the actress is a very nice person. I know
she's probably older than you are now.
She's had a very successful career. I think she's a teacher now, but god damn, that
everyone just calls me Gingrich.
Yeah, but if you don't have people threatening to kill children, how do you know it's an edgy movie?
Oh, maybe it's the talky talk dialogue where he just goes fuckity fuck fuck fuck. I mean, we're this close to saying I shouldn't be at work today.
Going back to the movie, and I guess another vampire question. So in
you're
this movie,
furrowing your brow like you're thinking about hardcore, buddy.
No, okay. So in this movie, in this universe, vampires turn into ash.
Yes.
But in the Twilight universe, in which, you know, I grew
they
up.
They are sparkly.
They are sparkly. I grew up in the people knobbed over with, if you was a Team Jacob or Team.
I am really, really sorry. That's what you grew up with.
Yeah. If I was, if you weren't Hunger Games or any of these teams or whatever, that's that was the heartthrobs. And I got pissed because I thought, you know, Robert, whatever that movie was where he came out shirtless and he started glowing or whatever, he didn't evaporate. And I was like, this is some bullshit. They're supposed to like light up. And
if we're talking sexy vampires, it is kind of Wesley Snipes in this movie. He looks good in this movie.
He does. He does. You know, he looks great in all of them.
Well, right. But like, even here compared to the other vampires, he's the only one who has control over anything. I mean, no, brought up Triple H in this movie. That
you weren't enraptured by Triple H's presence on the screen,
dude. He's like a heavy out of a different movie, like right, like because like what I mean, because the game they're trying to play again. This is a Bond movie parading as a Blade movie.
Yeah,
because like you even have the villain and she's all evil and stuff, and then you have like Dave Bautista as the heavy, but the thing is, no one has anything to do, and they all have superpowers. So why do you need any of this nonsense? Well,
this was 2000s, and they really tried. This is like when The Rock was going into movies and shit. So they try to make all these wrestlers.
All these men must spit on The Rock's image every time they see it and stuff. Dwayne The Rock. I mean, then the fact that he's singing in a fucking musical in a Disney movie, they must be spitting at him when they see him at the reunion.
Oh, he's getting that check. Dude, he's getting that check.
Oh, he puts out 12 movies a fucking year. He doesn't sleep.
He's the modern day Schwarzenegger.
Speaking of checks, when was this? When did Wesley Snipes get into that tax trouble? Was it before or after?
The next day. They were waiting.
Maybe that's why he's phoning in, because he just knew he had all that shit going on. And like, he's a fine, I'll do a Blade movie because I'm going to get some tax shit going on.
And by the way, you know who's selling him that weed? It's Kris Kristofferson. The two of them are in the trailer. They're smoking that shit because he's like, tomorrow they're coming to get me. So
remember when Kris Kristofferson could carry a movie?
Oh, God.
Dude, remember when he was nailing Dolly Parton? The man has been around for a long time. And by the way, God bless him, because he doesn't care about this movie, but when he shows up on screen, you're like, the capable hands of an intoxicated Kris Kristofferson.
When he
appears in the third act, it doesn't make sense, and you know he's the bad guy in disguise, and you're just like, hey, I know him. Something's happening.
The dude from Prison Break, right?
No, the old fucker.
Well, you're talking about Dominic Purcell, right?
Yeah.
Playing Dracula. Okay. Draco.
No, Kris Kristofferson is the old bastard. He's the one playing Whistler.
Oh, Whistler. Okay, yes. Yeah.
Didn't he bang Barbara Streisand back in the 70s? Wasn't that a thing?
Certain he banged every major star in the 80s.
Because when he was singing with the guitar, the panties just dropped. I mean, because he was Kris fucking Kristofferson. You're good, man.
I'm going to speak to the person born in 1992 for a minute. He was a big-time country singer back in the day, and he also, in the 70s, was in a lot of movies, and that...
I just knew from being Wesley from... Whistler, in Blade.
That's fair, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's what
he
is.
He does look like a Kenny Rogers type.
Yeah, that's what he was.
I imagine they didn't invite each other to shit. Same with...
Didn't Dolly date both of them then? Damn, Dolly. Okay.
Dolly. and who's the fucker from Cannonball Run and...
Burt Reynolds.
The three of them must have done like the three white guys. They could have been the Three Musketeers in like a weird Southern drama.
Well, anyway, Kris Kristofferson was also a movie star back in the 70s. He actually was in a couple of Sam Peckinpah movies. It kind of ended after Heaven's Gate, which...
bombed
horribly, but we'll get into that later if we ever do that movie.
Gaga movie that came out last year?
Oh, Star is Born.
Sam Elliott.
The original Star is Born.
Oh.
No, not the original. The second Star is Born.
Okay. The third.
I thought you were going to talk about who's the guy? It's not Sam Elliott. Is it Sam? The guy with the mustache?
Oh. Yeah, Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Big Lebowski. That guy.
He never ages too. Oh,
no.
Okay. Well, no.
He has the same.
It's like they super aged up to that look.
We call that the
and they've been there since the 80s.
We call that Walter Matthau syndrome, where they, you know, they hit puberty, they turn 85, and then they remain that way for six decades.
Morgan Freeman,
right?
You know,
he was driving Miss Daisy 40 years ago.
Who was
fuck that movie, by the way.
Instead of Chris, by the 100% fuck that movie. That is white people apologizing for nonsense. It's like, when people like to Green Book, you're just like, oh, boomers. You gotta stop pretending that white people did the civil rights movement, boomers. You gotta do it.
I will say one fun piece of trivia about A Star Is Born from the 70s with fucking Barbara Streisand,
and David Hasselhoff.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was supposed to be Chris Christopherson originally in that movie, like that character.
Harrison Ford.
Nope.
David Fincher.
Who?
Clint Eastwood.
Just naming
what
people.
Oh,
no. No, I gotta know who.
Oh my god, can you imagine?
Okay, our resident vampire experts asking. I'll tell you, Elvis.
Yeah. Yes. Can you imagine a 1970s Elvis making out with Barbara
Streisand?
That
almost happened.
That's awkward.
I've never seen an Elvis movie.
You're fine.
You don't need to.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if you Google like Blue Hawaii on YouTube and you see the one song, that's all it is. They're all like beach blanket bingo kind of like, but dancing on the beach, he's playing guitar and he has an erection and that's the end of the movie.
Huh.
Pretty much.
I mean, right? Like,
so Blade.
he's tucking in a Hawaiian shirt into dungarees, and you're just like, oh.
Speaking of erections.
Oh my god, he has an erection when he gets waken up, when he has the inhaler? Okay, so in the in I noticed
yeah, I
a,
knew you would I catch
paused
this.
It.
I knew you would catch
I
it.
I paused it. So
wait, what?
When Ryan Reynolds and what's her face, Jessica Biel, are breaking Blade out of prison. They crush the door. Ryan Reynolds gives him, some
yeah.
He hits a bump, and like they break him free. He stands up, and Wesley Snipes has a very notable erection.
Okay. Are you sure it's not from the pleats of the pants?
They specifically frame the picture of just his middle torso. Like, from his abs to just above his knee.
Okay, New Jack City. Okay.
It's an Arnold shot from Terminator when he's coming out of the portal.
Yeah.
So he's kind of standing up slowly, but they start at his erection and move upward, and you're just like...
It's awkward. I had to pause, rewind, watch it. Pause, rewind, watch it. Now, pause, rewind, watch
Charlie,
it.
Charlie.
It is now an Avatar.
Charlie, would you think it was awkward?
It was awkward.
It was not expected for a movie where no one gets laid.
I know.
Yeah. It's not a kid's movie.
I was
so.
Like, hold up. Did that just really happen? And it did.
I was like,
the first 20 minutes or 30 minutes of this movie are really just all what this movie's about. It's a lot of awkwardness. It's a lot of them trying to repeat what the original Blade movie and the second one were about. They even they have vampire dogs that have the same mouths as the vampires in
Blade
2.
Poodle dog, yeah.
Well, they have predator mouths.
Oh, quick, if you do want to see the scene we're talking about, 29 minutes, 40 seconds. Just FYI.
Yeah, you got
oh,
it on
good
the thumbnail.
Lord,
okay.
Charlie.
All right.
Okay, so when I was a senior in high school, I worked at a movie theater like everyone does in their life at one
Blockbuster.
Point.
I worked at a GameStop.
Fuck GameStop. Swordfish. Where Halle Berry is topless, there was just a projectionist who told us the time code of that, where she was just like, because all she does is like Hugh Jackman comes up and goes, all right, I need to know you something. And she lowers a book down and she's topless and you're just like,
boobs.
Well, right. She got an extra $500,000 for it, which good for her. But he's like, whatever it was, 43 minutes, 12 seconds. And I'm just like,
how did you?
Do I have to clean up the projection booth again? Like,
how did the projectionist describe Mulholland Drive to you?
Shockingly, the Georgia Theater Company did not show Mulholland Drive that
year.
Oh,
that is a shame.
Unsurprised.
You know, I mean, between multiple screens sewing Swordfish, who'd have thunk it?
Well, David Lynch got the best director nom that year because.
And I'm
because
sure the Princess, and I'm sure the Independent, and I'm sure those places showed it. We did not. Tara showed it. The Plaza showed it. We did not.
Well,
you know what happens? It turns out that they've discovered a vial that if you shoot through Dracula, it just kills vampires.
Well, it's a virus, and apparently...
It's a virus. It needs his blood to activate.
Yes.
With the logic, it makes sense, doesn't it?
That's pretty much the rest of the plot. I mean, what happens is...
If you weren't so charming, Charlie, I'd kick you out of my fucking house.
And the best part about it is they actually show the little virus bugs eating all the vampire blood.
Oh my God, yes. We get a scene out of... You practically expect Mr. DNA to show up from Jurassic... Yes. Dino! Vampire DNA! Like, as though you're reading the ancient text of, like, a Grey's Anatomy from the 16th century. Just like, I say, my word, vampires!
I still don't get this movie, though. I don't understand okay. this
you're
movie.
Fine.
That's the whole point. Really, it's terrible.
Here's the thing. I will make this movie again. I'll make you a rip of it. Gotcha. But I'm going to dub it into, like, Italian. And it would be like... And the subtitles would be like, my goodness, a vampire. You'd be okay. like...
That'd
oh,
be more interesting than the movie that we
brilliant.
Got.
Oh, okay. My God.
Now, I've got a question for you. A real question.
Me?
Like, have you seen any of the Underworld movies?
The one versus the Lycans.
Yep.
The first,
exactly.
Okay, and yeah. the first one.
Okay.
And then that's it. And then they all kind of mesh at the
okay,
one point.
Okay, that's the point. What are those movies about? Vampires
right.
fighting
right.
werewolves
yeah.
and sex.
Basically.
I mean, that's what this is. This is just a movie that is all about fighting and vampires and flashes.
But they do it so badly.
Yes, but
they
here's do. The thing. You forgive a bad movie if something is good and nothing is good.
No. I beg to differ. Jessica Biel owned every scene she was in.
Okay.
She committed to it, and her action scenes were amazing. Like when she was on that subway platform
when, yeah, when they attacked
against
her and
those
stuff, yeah.
low rent Lost Boys.
Dude, that opening is great. Her introduction is very good.
Yeah.
I liked Ryan Reynolds in this movie, like especially that scene.
You are a piece of shit. I'm sorry.
I already knew that.
Well,
Nick, but I liked Ryan Reynolds in this movie because he had the best lines, and I remember them being laugh lines in the theater back in the day. Like that bit where he gets captured very late in the movie, which we're going to go ahead and skip over the second act because who gives a fuck, but
yeah.
The third act is about the Night Stalkers being broken up and Drake trying to challenge
Blade. They have that
really
awkward argument over who's supposed to do the dishes. And then they're just like, I'm not friends with you anymore. And then everybody...
Yeah, but I think you liked Ryan Reynolds mostly because he was just sort of acting in his own movie that wasn't this movie.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Well, he had no script. His line was just a bunch of dots. And then he was like, I'm going to vamp.
Have we mentioned the whole point of Parker Posey's character was that she didn't have fangs in her mouth. She had vampire fangs in her vagina.
Yes.
What?
That's a line of dialogue
in
this movie.
That was a line of dialogue, yes.
Oh, I guess so. Again, so many things in this movie that made me like doze off here and there. But
well, anyway.
And that's why she's blind. She used it too
she,
much.
She, I think, was the person that initially... turned Hannibal King into a vampire, right?
Yes.
Okay.
She did. We get that.
She did. She did turn him and well, he escaped from her.
Right. But that bit where she captures him again and he's being tortured and he's like, okay, I just ate a whole bunch of garlic and I just farted.
Silent but deadly.
Well, here's the thing. I want to go back to Blade 2 because you...
I do too.
We all do.
No, the amount of star power that was in this movie, I'm just reading the list. They had Norman Reedus, who was in this movie.
Yes,
Blade 2. Ron Perlman.
Yep.
Who was Donnie Yen, which was the Ip Man, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was.
Yep.
And how you go from... Which now, okay, if you say those names now, that means something. Norman Reedus, Walking Dead, Don Perlman.
Well, plus director of Blade 2's got an Oscar for best director now. Mm-hmm. So,
and then you just get this movie.
For
oh, just.
And well, the other thing is, I hate to do this because I don't hate to do it. This is the Bond problem. I love Bond movies, but Bond movies are almost exclusively nonsense. They are, because you know what they are? They're going to go around the world as a white guy with alcoholism and have a lot of sex and kill the bad guys. But you know what makes it work or not? The action sequences. Blade 1 to Blade 2 is
perfect.
Almost the same movie as Blade 3. But the action sequences in Blade 1 and Blade 2 keep the movie going.
Yeah.
In this one, it seems like you're a plane crashing and then you have a slight updraft. And a slight updraft. You know what I mean? Like, you don't question Blade 1 and Blade 2 because it's a freight train going through. And you're like, that was pretty good. And a week later, you're like, that didn't make any sense. But who cares? It was pretty good and it was action-packed and it was fun. And the second one especially has, like you just mentioned, everyone in it. This one never feels like it gets going. And so when an action scene happens... It's Burning Time.
I felt like it was one of those CW shows.
Yeah.
This is something that belongs in the Arrowverse, the Arrowverse or whatever nonsense basically, they're calling it. I have a new kind of arrow this week, and I'm really awkward around my girlfriend, so maybe I won't get an erection. Oh, no! Math class!
Can we go ahead and skip to the end where there's a couple things that happened. First and foremost, Natasha. Oh, yeah, obviously that's going to happen.
We've all been there.
Oh, yeah. It's why I refused to sulfur X back in the day. But anyway.
Hey, Kelly, you want to study with me in biology? Wink. That was not a joke, but then it became a joke. And I tried to not mention anyone I know, and then it ended up being a friend of mine. So. That I met after high school.
Got you.
No, yep. We're good.
Someone who went to my rival high school back in the day, but I never knew her back then. But anyway. Oh, jeez. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, jeez, Rick.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, there's a couple things that happened. First and foremost, Patton Oswalt and Natasha Lyonne die.
Yep.
They're murdered.
Off-screen.
Off-screen. I still think that was okay that we just saw their corpses after the fact. And then we get a video recording of Natasha Lyonne saying, okay, here's what I'm doing.
If you find yourself in the third movie of a horror movie, here's what... It's a scream scene. I'm sorry. It's a scene.
It basically is. Yeah. It's like, if you're watching this, I am dead. And here's what you need to do to activate...
I was reading the Wizard of Oz book.
Here's how you
child.
Kill all the vampires.
Via the Daystar, I think it's called.
The Daystar virus.
So Satan is literally killing vampires. But anyway, at the end, there's this... Well, you know what, Charlie? Why don't you take it over? What happens between the climatic fight between...
Like I have not seen in a long time.
Well, it's not hate. It's just
no,
I'm
basically,
not...
Basically, you know, Dominic Purcell comes in as Drake, murders everyone in Team
prison
White
Bright.
Hat, you know?
Yeah.
And yes, and then... You know, they go storming into the vampire castle, which
they
is
do.
A corporate building, which makes sense. Bloodsuckers.
Someone thought that was very clever.
Which, hold on, let's rewind. That blood bank, literally.
Oh,
blood
shit.
Bank.
This is a scene out of X-Files.
See, that alone could have been driving, like, the whole plot and could have been far more interesting than
that
human.
Yeah.
That's your opening scene.
That was really
scene.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like, what's his name? A blade crashes through a wall. He's fighting a bunch of vampires. He knocks this door down, and holy fuck, is your cold open, right? So what Nora's alluding to is this idea that, like, we come into this room, again, literally out of an X-Files episode, which had this by now, where we had the alien clones. People in, like, these weird Ziploc bags, like a bunch of, like, Adonis's naked bleeding into the bag.
That's a little earlier than the scene.
Well, that's what
yeah, that was right before the final scene. That was when they went there, that was when everyone got killed at Team White Hat.
Right.
Yes.
And he's okay. The chief of police is the guy that's there.
Exactly. And so they kidnap the little girl and Ryan Reynolds' character, so they all bust into this building to try and save them.
Right.
It ends up being that Ryan Reynolds is fighting Triple H and Parker Posey in probably the biggest letdown ever, because, again, that could have been some really witty back and forth between Parker and
Ryan. They're both great comedians.
Absolutely. It could have been amazing, but no, they missed out on that one. And then Jessica Biel randomly kills a bunch of vampires, and then Blade fights Drake, and that's about it.
Well, Blade fights Drake. They release that Daystar virus, and that's what kills Parker Posey and a whole bunch of other people. And then
again, this movie has a bunch of weird dangling loose ends, but like. A dude we've never seen before who's the driver shows up and says, you know all that stuff you just saw in a video? We have a...
What the fuck was up with that guy?
I know.
Would have never trusted him.
Right? And I thought he would matter. Like, maybe he was a familiar... Nope, didn't matter. It just... It's... We'll do for December the Harry Potter movies, but it feels like just Hermione giving exposition that she read in another book.
Yeah.
Like, this is just nonsense. A dude with high cheekbones shows up and he goes, turns out I'm your driver. I have the plot. I'm going to take you to the plot. The person who died gave me this vial. I put it into a gun. And you're just like...
No, an arrow.
Well, a thing that can be fired out of 6 different weapons or an arrow.
Right. That's right.
Wink! And Jessica Biel's like, I have an arrow.
And she's like this amazing archer. And we know this because when she was like training, she fired all her arrows in the sign of a cross.
And it said... Huh. Frames per second. It was FPS.
I know. Frames per second. I'm like, what?
You could have just said miles per hour. Yeah. You could have done anything. First of all, none of it matters. So just make up something that isn't FPS, which means frames per second.
But she tries to fire it at Drake. He catches it midair, throws it to the ground, and then turns back and tries to attack her.
Blade
grabs it, jabs it into his chest.
Well, and I
so all that shooting arrow shit was for nothing. She
literally
missed.
Nothing.
She was a distraction.
She was just too. What if Blade wasn't there?
Then they would have all died.
And by the way, I have to point out the fact
which
that
probably might have been an actually better ending.
Yeah. Better movie. I will also point out one thing, which is that Blade doesn't just stab it. He looks at himself. He's like, holy shit, I have two hands, because he holds up his hands, looks at them, and then grabs the arrow with one of them. He's like, what?
What?
And then he stabs.
My favorite part is when he does stab it in, all of a sudden they go into the body to show the virus taking hold.
Yeah.
Around the beating heart.
What was that movie? Three Kings?
Yes. It is very Three Kings.
Yeah. Or like very Fast and Furious when they hit the nose.
How does a vampire have a beating heart?
How does anything have anything? This movie has no consequence.
Which I have another vampire question.
What's that?
Okay, so they say a wooden stake through the heart kills a vampire.
Okay, yes.
Okay, but why is it just a wooden stake? Anything through the heart could kill a vampire.
Anything,
like if I had a plastic sword.
A wooden stake instantly kills them. A silver stake instantly kills them. Sunlight instantly kills them. Everything else is just mass trauma, which will eventually kill them.
Right.
This movie, she has, Jessica Biel has in her shoe a silver blade, which she stabs people with. Blade is throwing around nonsense like silver stuff. Because like the thing is, we don't have establishment how deep it has to go or anything. So just like, you should just have like Wolverine Blade just like touching people. Because by the end of this, it's all nonsense. And like, and even at one point, Drake drops some sweet rhymes. And then he goes, you know, sun doesn't matter to me because I'm the original vampire and everyone else is like a bastard version of me. And you're just like, all right, I guess nothing matters.
This movie was very inconsistent. They grab, it's like vampire mythos. Vampire mythos is inconsistent because it's pulling from all these cultures.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And in some cultures they can walk in the day, and some cultures they can't.
Daywalkers.
Yeah. Well, now he's the daywalker.
Blade.
Because he's a vampire that can walk during the day. He's actually a dampier. Which is the offspring.
Is that the technical term?
That is the technical term of an offspring, a male offspring of a vampire male and a female human.
Okay.
Well, I thought the whole thing with Blade was that his mom got bitten while she was pregnant.
Correct.
It is a take on the Dampier mythos.
Yeah.
He's got the exact same, like, down to the fact that, well, from a comic book perspective, down to the fact that he can sense the supernatural, that's what the Dampiers can do. You know, they're long-lived, etc.
So what's the difference between Blade and then who's the other comic book?
Morbius.
What's the difference between Morbius and Blade?
Science vampire.
Morbius, a science vampire? He had a blood disease, I think, that made... he basically became a vampire as part of a cure for his rare blood disease, which means he constantly had to suck blood to get in his system.
But it's not mystical. It's science vampire. So, like, crosses don't work on him. Silver doesn't work on him. Stake through the heart doesn't work on him. None of that, because he is not a mythology creature. He's a science creature.
That's another weird thing about this movie, because they try to explain vampirism in scientific terms in the previous movies.
In the first Blade movie... they actually, so there's like an end credit scene where Blade, because you know at the end of the first one he's in like Russia or some place like that, but they had an alternative end credit scene where they actually wanted to introduce Morbius into the series.
Oh.
But you know during the time during you know the Bio New Line Cinema movies, they didn't know what exactly what like rights and shit was. And I think at the time Morbius was a Spider-Man
villain.
Yeah, so, he's part of the Spider-Man package.
And then Sony had gotten that. So there was like, there's a whole, if you look it up on YouTube, if you could, there's a, like a cut scene, like him from a distance.
Well, and I understand why. The fun fact is, you know, obscure comic book and vampire details. Blade went from having no strength or speed to having that because Morbius bit him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Well, you know what? I mean,
comic books.
I will say what could have made this more fun and sexy is if Drake had been a high society nonsense person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he had been around for a long time.
Oh, if Elon Musk was Dracula, why not?
Yes, but I'm also thinking like
it's that what Patrick Dempsey was in that Transformers movie. He was always like his family lineage and shit. He was always associated with the Transformers. It kind of maybe.
Yeah, I mean, super stretchy. I'm just thinking like if he was someone who just existed in pick a big city that they could afford, Chicago, and he was just high society nonsense and killing people off the whole time secretly. You know, killing off transient types, which is what the blood bank scene is effectively.
Yeah.
And then whatever name, Parker Posey knows who he is and says, we need help. And then you tap him out because that's who Dracula is. He's a classy motherfucker.
What we need is we need to like charge Matt with doing how would I do this?
No, you don't.
Actually, you know what? I'm a Charlie Saw. So.
This is the episode.
I would love to hear his take on it.
Okay.
Take than what we got, which is, by the way, the ending. All the vampires die, including Drake. Blade goes into a coma. Hannibal King's like, well, he's going to wake up from it because he's got a half-human heart and that humanity is so important. And
turns out he does.
That's it.
And the reason, okay, Matt does it, but he can't watch this movie. Just watch the first one or two and then have Blade fight Dracula. That's it. That's what we'll tell him.
Oh, that's actually a good point. Yeah, no, that's good. But I think at the end of the day, it's a terrible freaking movie.
Absolutely.
I'm excited about the reintroduction of Blade into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
Because they're going to go nuts.
Is that a series or a movie?
It's going to be a movie.
Okay.
Which means that he'll be injected into the end of maybe a Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm. No, they're going to tie him in with Doctor Strange.
So Doctor Strange, what's that new one called inside the
Multiverse of Madness?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh,
which was
that'd be a great opportunity to bring
which is supposed to be like a horror
he's
movie.
He's
going to
come
switch.
Across. That's what it's going to be. He's going to come across Mahershala Ali. Right?
Which, by the way, they were filming Winter Soldier. What was that? Captain and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Right down the street from me at Atlantic Station.
Oh, nice.
That's right.
Yeah.
They shut down the Croc Tunnel for 2 weeks to film at night.
Well, in Avengers Endgame, that whole scene with the Hulk giving autographs, I thought that was the diner in Ponce, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. See,
even the Chinese, when they were in Japan, that was in Atlanta. Everything was in Atlanta.
I'm a movie puncher, as Daniel knows. I'm next to him. I'm like, do you know what's happening? But we watched Black Panther.
Oh, my God. I know what you're talking about.
And, like, the first shot is that art heist.
I was like, bullshit.
At the High Museum. And they put up signs that make it, like, Mary Old England. I'm like, dude, I've been parked in that alleyway next
to
the thing.
So, you know, for that scene where he goes into the ambulance, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
They fucking CGI'd the back windows.
I know.
To make it seem like they were actually in London. But that's my commute. That's, like,
I know.
The Highlands next. Yeah. So there's the High Museum, which was the museum they had in Britain, which is also a hospital in residence. They have the church, and next to it was my parking lot for my work, which is down the street.
See, this
used to live at the apartment complex across the road from the Masons Lodge.
Yeah.
So I would go to Georgia State by walking to that MARTA station every day, and I'm just like, dude, you can't tell me. And I was laughing my I was the
entire
asshole.
Time, like, this is Atlanta.
I was Robert De Niro from Cape Fear, just like fat guy laughing, just like, that's Atlanta. That's Atlanta. A High Museum. I think I broke some.
This
kids.
Is why Baby Driver was such a great movie.
Yeah, because it was Atlanta set in Atlanta.
And it didn't bother to try and explain itself.
Yep. And I can still watch it and enjoy it because Kevin Spacey dies like the asshole he is. Hey, Sudsy, give us our final thoughts.
I remember
hating it before it was cool.
I hated this movie when I saw it in theaters back in 2004, which back in the day, that was like, oh, I'm technically 16. I can sneak into an R-rated movie. That was the whole point, I think, of this. But I hate it again today because it's just so much worse than the other Blade movies. And it's just so pointless. Plus, Wesley Snipes is clearly not into it.
Nor?
Blade was the first African-American superhero that was portrayed that I saw in theaters, right? And then Blade 2 came out, and I was just like, boom, let's keep it going.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really pay attention to this movie because it wasn't as hyped as the first two movies, right? And when I saw it, finally when I saw it years and years later, I was generally disappointed in it, not only as, you know, as a comic book movie person, but also as a black man. But then I understood what tax problems were, so I completely understood why he was on the phone, this, you know. So my final thoughts of this movie was just like, you know, I understand why people just need to get that check to get away from the IRS. So it a disappointment, but I understand.
Sure. Charlie?
You know, Wesley Snipes, he had an opportunity to do a fantastic job, but he boiled down his act performance to grunting and growling. Jessica Biel was the best part, the shining part of this, and Ryan Reynolds did a bad job of playing Ryan Reynolds.
I'm agreeing with you, and I'm going to give this a no review, man. Like, this is a paycheck movie, and yeah, like paycheck. Even Patton Oswalt must have been redoing a kitchen. I don't know. Like, and maybe the director gave no one anything to do.
The director is a screenwriter, David S. Goyer, who later wrote Batman Begins and wrote the story for The Dark Knight.
But he's a writer, not a director. He's and a you writer. Can you can smell this because he must have just said, just do it the way you want to do it. Because, like, again, I've seen Patton Oswalt and other things, and King of Queens is garbage, but he's acting in that movie, or in that show, rather. This is a nothing performance. And, again, if this is your first introduction to Blade, you're wrong, man. He's so good in the first two.
Yeah.
There's just no one showed up here. Even Kris Kristofferson, who in those first movies is silly and fun. Like, he's your old grandpa comic relief type. Like, he practically does a rap in that second movie. He's so silly. This movie has no levity. And Ryan Reynolds is not even trying. He's just been giving funny lines because he's the handsome guy who can give funny lines. This movie is nonsense. Skip it. Skip it.
Yeah, skip it.
I'm trying to come up with a reason to watch it, but there isn't one.
No, go watch Hellboy instead. Hellboy is the proper Blade 3.
Hellboy 1 and 2. I'd take either of them.
If you want a reason to watch this movie, it's a drinking game. How many times? Yeah, look up a drinking game and watch Blade Trinity.
No, drink till you fall asleep. You'll go out right away.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. But that's it. Trust me. All of October and the Patreon, we're doing some hearty vampire flicks, guys. If you wanted us to do it, could Twilight be coming? Twilight's coming. We're rounding out this month with Mr. Rose and maybe Mr. Trinette if he comes back. Bram Stoker's Dracula.
The Coppola movie.
The Coppola movie. It'll be fun. It'll be some bad wiggy wigs. And Gary Oldman, not playing Commissioner Gordon, but playing vampires. So stay tuned next week as we put more of your past on trial, guys. And thank you.
Myopia Movies is a product of Dude Letter Podcasting and is hosted by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Daniel Suttis, mixed and engineered by Nick Hoffman, produced by Nick Hoffman, Matthew Quinn, and Daniel Suttis, and our panelist is Jeremy Reigel. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod and is used under the Creative Commons 4 license. Find it at comptech.com. Please follow us on Facebook, at Twitter at Myopia Podcast, on Letterboxd, and rate and review us wherever you find us. Thanks.